This is Phil Pritchett. Welcome to the P2 Podcast.
There's never been a better time than right now to be a musician.
Jenny hit Austin.
My name's Phil, and I just want to play rock and roll, man.
Tougher than the rest.
Stu, just kind of get that steady beat coming in. One, a two, a one, two, three, five. Blue, here we go. A one, two, three.
Well, I was in Virginia, I was waiting for a train.
Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast, coming to you from beautiful Fort Worth, Texas, from my beautiful recording studio, Trinidad World Recording, here in the fort, here in Texas. So glad you could all be with us here this week for this edition of the P2 Podcast. All the ships at sea, all you Texas music fan over there, serving our country overseas, those of you in other parts of the United States, other parts of the world, seeking to enlighten your musical life, you have all come here. Welcome. We welcome you all to sit around the warm hearth, to breathe in the enlightenment, and to be a part of the experience that is music in this day and age. Chaotic though it may be, welcome everybody. Phil Pritchett here as always. Man, we have had the place is still a buzzing over last week of the return of Kurt South. Wasn't that a pleasant? You turn on, you download the new podcast, or maybe you listen to it on a radio show somewhere, and there's our old friend Kurt spouting off opinions about smartphones, cell phones. In his own word, he said he himself is now going through a technological divorce. Now, that is a term for the ages there, a technological divorce, making the point that he is trying not to spend quite as much time, so much valuable time, with a cell phone, you know, texting, emailing, etc. He's cutting it all off. He's cutting it all off, so good luck getting in touch with Kurt. Although I'm sure if you call him for a gig or shoot him an email or something, he'll show up with bells on. Bells on. He's a musician, after all. That's what my one of my old mentors, Spencer Starnes. Hello, Spencer. The great Spencer Starnes down there in Austin, Texas. He had a studio out in Bee Cave, Texas. Back when Bee Cave was it 2244? What's that road? Bee Cave's road goes all the way out to Highway 71 there, west of town in Austin, out by the backyard. There used to be just the backyard out there when I was living in Austin. This was... mid-late 90s. But Spencer had a little kind of a, you know, modular home out there, which was a studio on a few acres of land. And I helped produce a record out there for a friend of mine, did some recording out there. And his take on musicians, like Kurt South or whoever's out there, it's just, hey, man, he's a musician. If you pay him, he's going to show up. And that proved true so many more times than you would think. When some of the biggest names in Austin music would just show up to do an acoustic part or a background vocal or lead or something. I'm like, I can't believe that guy's playing on this record, you know? Just Starnes is like, hey, man, you say you're going to pay him, he's going to show up. So show up he did. Well, we're grateful for Kurt South stopping by. Well, man, in our second segment, he's going to be back. He's going to be back to discuss, as promised, as teased last week. I've been getting emails all week on this. How dare I dangle that little nugget out there about John Rich, none other than John Rich, one half of Big and Rich. You know of whom I speak. I think in recent years probably became the poster child for just Nashville excess, you know, just goofy kind of music, just rock, glitzy, glam, garbage country music. Big and rich, man. But certainly John Rich has had a heck of a career. I mean, he's written a lot of songs. And so anyway, so Kurt South and his band are playing a show at the White Elephant the other night when they're alerted to the presence of John Rich joining them for their show. So hilarity ensues after that. So stay tuned for our second segment here on that. Kurt South. Also, man, in our final segment in the vault today, man, it's taken me a while to get around to this. It's taken me a good while to get around this because, man, let me tell you what. I was never intrigued with Jackson Browne. That's right. You heard me. But, man, a few people a while back were like, well, man, what Jackson Browne? How come he just stands there, he croons, he sings, the women love him, whatever. I don't know. I was really into the Petty, man, and all the rock and roll stuff, man. Rolling around on the stage. Jackson's a little more laid back. But, man, his first few records, man, the first Jackson Browne album, incorrectly referred to as Saturate Before Using, but for Jackson Browne's first record, and then the record we're going to look at in the vault, For Every Man. Fantastic, man. Golly, what a great songrighter. And I don't know, if you just let yourself sort of mellow into that Southern California mood, man, listen to Jackson Browne. We're going to take a listen to For Every Man in the vault today. Well, man, you know what's on my mind today? This first segment is just about what's on my mind. Man, the continuing issues of the concert industry. We've discussed many times on this program here, you enlightened souls out there, listening in every week. Man, the concert industry has just been a disaster. A lot of that is the economy, perhaps, this summer. You know, people don't have as much money to spend. But, man, it has gotten so far out of whack as far as, you know, bands charging $200 for tickets and then canceling shows because no one buys them. And in other unforeseen circumstances, you have people buying tickets the day of the show. Smart people, like I'm sure many of you listening out there, P2 fans, people wait to the day of the show to see what tickets are lying around. And then, you know, pick up a ticket for like $5 or $10 or something. And show up at the show, you're just being smart. You know the thing's not going to sell out. You might go, I'll see if it sells out. We'll see what happens and see what's laying around the day of the show. Maybe I'll go. But, man, remember the old days, man? Remember the old days where, man, you know, Springsteen tickets go on sale next Thursday. And, man, you had to just hit redial on your phone like 1,000 times before you got through and bought your tickets. Man, you were paying a premium price early. No question. Or you weren't going to be there, man. That was the end of the story. Oh, man, I remember you used to camp and go camp out for Van Halen tickets for the Texas Jam and stuff like that. You know, growing up in Dallas, I mean, you had to get those tickets day out, sold out in a day, man. Well, man, all these acts now are out there touring all the time, and no one is going to, few people, I should say, are going to pay that much that early to go to a gig. So, but you might be get an email from somebody, hey, man, you want to go see Sting tonight at Red Rocks? Miss $5. Just what? Five? I mean, I saw you was coming, but I saw tickets were, you know, $100. I didn't really go. No, $5, man. We'll be sitting up kind of high, but it'll be fun. All right, well, cool. And, man, that's had unintended consequences because you got all these people coming into the show who paid $5 or $10, gloating about paying $5 or $10. And who are they sitting next to? They might be sitting next to the guy that, you know, bought it the day of the show. Well, man, rightly so. The guy who bought early is going to be pissed. You know, you see a lot of this with the recent stuff on Lilith Fair. Remember Lilith, man? All the ladies touring, you know, just talking about, you know, saving the trees and animals and stuff. And, you know, Lilith Fair, man, it was a huge successful thing in the 90s. Sarah McLachlan, you know, all those great artists. And it was a big success. Well, they tried to do a Lilith Fair kind of tour, you know, this summer. And that's kind of been a front runner and just, you know, demand hasn't been there like they thought it would. But there's been a lot of online chatter, you know, about people going to shows and, you know, who paid like $250 and they're sitting next to some dude in the 10th row, you know, that paid $5 and that he's all too happy to tell you about. Unintended. Man, that's just bad business. That's bad for the venue, for the act, for the promoter. You just cannot. You can't do that. What's the answer, man? It's almost like these tickets go on sale. These prices are set so high. But it's just the old wave, man. That's how it used to be. You know, we didn't have the internet to check up on tickets, to shop around, to free up that marketplace. And now that we have that, you know, you and I, smart, enlightened souls, aren't going to pay anything the day this ticket's go on sale. We'll just kind of wait and see how things shake out, you know. And you know you can probably walk up to an Eagles show or a Springsteen show or whatever. Just pick you up a ticket for, you know, 5, 10, 15 bucks and walk in and see the show. It's sort of a last-minute decision. But I think, you know, moving forward, that's just how music has to be anyway. It used to be an affordable thing to go to a concert. I think I paid in 1988 or 89 like 25 bucks to sit 10th row at the Who at the Cotton Bowl. But it was a lot of people. It was 80,000 people at the Cotton Bowl in Dallas. Stevie Ray Vaughan opened, and it was hard to get a ticket. Now you had to be in line and stuff, but the actual price was not that high. It wasn't, you know, 200 bucks to sit down there. It was maybe 30 bucks or 40 bucks. But it wasn't that. I mean, we went to concerts all summer long. I mean, we just went to whoever came to the Cotton Bowl or whoever came to Starplex. God, in one summer, man, I saw like Dylan, I saw Elton John, David Bowie, Guns N' Roses. You know, it was always just, I don't know, it's 12 bucks to sit on the lawn. You know, had the grass back there at the shed, you know. Sting, we saw him out there. You know, do you want a seat, you know, down under the overhang for, you know, $24, or do you want to just sit in the grass for 13 bucks? I'll just sit in the grass. It wasn't it wasn't like paying for college or something. God, now, a couple years ago, you had like Celine Dion announced she was going to go on tour in like a year and a half, but you had to buy your tickets now for $400 if you wanted to go. You know, just stuff like that. It's just the acts, the agents, they want as much money as they can get up front, and which is understandable. We all need the money, man, you know. But really, when music thrived and people went to lots of shows and concerts were full at these types of venues, it was when the tickets were relatively low, where you didn't have to make a life or death decision about going to the show, man. You just sort of looked up, oh yeah, man, you know, Dylan's tonight. Wait, are there any tickets left? Yeah, there's a couple on the grass for 12 bucks. Okay, let's go, man. You know, when I was living in Austin, I mean, we had my old friend Darren Norman. I was on the show talking about Soul Hat. Went to all those Soul Hat gigs on 6th Street. I mean, it was like 2 bucks to get in, 5 bucks, but I mean, just everybody went. And it seems to me that the business did well when the tickets were low and everybody went. And it's when you try to drive those tickets up real high that people are just going to stay away, man. So I don't know. My band is certainly not a advanced ticket, you know, priority type act, you know. I mean, it's always you can walk up and get a ticket and get into the wherever we're playing for 5, 8, 10 bucks, you know, wherever we're playing. So who knows, man? I guess you have a tough decision if you start selling it out at that price, you know, to raise your ticket price. But maybe the answer would be just to find a larger venue and try to keep the ticket prices the same. You know, you say, well, you know, we'll go somewhere that holds more people, but we'll still keep it around, you know, 8 or 10 bucks. I don't know. Email me, phil@philpritchard.com. Lower prices. Let's face it, man, there's more bands out there than ever. There's more music out there than ever. Everyone's complaining, oh, we can't make money selling music anymore. But people are listening to more music than ever, folks. Aren't you? Man, I don't know about you, man. There's no risk. I just go in there and, you know, crank up the iPod, man. Just all kinds of vinyl on there. I've converted all my stuff. You know, I have people emailing me tracks. Check this out. I'll check this out. And, you know, there's not a big investment there. Then I'll buy some tracks from certain bands I like or whatever. Convert my old CDs and live with music, man. Live with it. I wish concerts were the same. I wish there wasn't the investment. I wish it was just, you know, hey, Neil Young tonight, man. You can get in there for 50 bucks or 40 bucks or something. Okay, I'll go for that. But, man, it's expensive, and there's not enough of us. Hear me now, dinosaur acts out there trying to charge all that money. We've all seen the act. Lower the tickets, man, and maybe I'll go in there. And especially for new music. You just have to, gosh, one of the best deals we had when I was a new band was, we went and played, Fitzwillies. Hello, Fitzwillies, there in College Station. we'd play Fitzwillie's, and the deal was something like the bar gave us, they just paid us a couple hundred bucks for showing up. That was it. We brought the PA. Maybe they give us like $300 from the bar. That's it. And there was a door guy that would take like $2. So basically the cover was $2 to get in. Well, no one turned away at a $2 cover. But man, we might get 100, 200 people in some of these gigs in one night. So, you know, you had a decent night. Driving back to Austin all night, where I lived, after playing Fitzwillie's, you know, you get 300 from the bar. I mean, yeah, maybe we made another 350 at the door. But it was, the whole point was that risk was spread out. You know, I wasn't just coming in there saying, well, I want an $800 guarantee. And the venue was on the hook for that. And the venue says, well, if we're paying you $800, then man, we need to charge $10 at the door. Cause if we all, you know, we're going to need 80 people to get in here to cover you. Well, then you're not going to get 80, charging that much money in a venue like that. So, I think just the balance has been thrown off, man. Those prices need to come down. And, I think the result would be more people would go to more shows. Let's hope that's what happens. Well, what is that? I think I hear a knocking at the door, a scratching, a rapping at my chamber door here. Kurt South is ready to come in here and share his story about meeting and jamming and hanging out with the country luminary John Rich from Big and Rich. Oh, man. I'm going to have to go get a drink before I come back in here and just settle in for that. So Kurt South will be here to talk about his experience with John Rich next. Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast from beautiful Fort Worth, from beautiful Trinidad World Recording Studios, my studio here in the fort. Email me, phil@philpritchett.com. Come record at the studio, as Bryant Hunt and the boys have done recently. Adrian Escovedo, the great Seth Jones was here, Brian Sachs, and so many others, man. A lot of projects going on at Trinidad this summer. It's been a ball. Join us. Set your creative mind free. Come record or book the full band. Call me 817-733-5256. Well, when you listen to modern country music, everyone, those of you out there listening, of course, don't make a habit of it, I'm sure. You like the classics, the red dirt stuff, the outlaw stuff. Yes, indeed, it's why we all live and breathe. But occasionally, those worlds collide. Occasionally, you look up, and oh my gosh, here comes, you know, somebody from the outside world, from outer space, from Nashville, a slickster. Well, our guest today is Kurt South. Hello, South.
How are you?
Everyone's been waiting with bated breath for this tale. I teased it last week. That was just mean. That was unfair. Kurt calls me the other morning. Guess who's at my show last night? I'm like, Jordan McCoskey. You know, I mean, I was guessing something. Our beloved Jordan McCoskey. Actually, he goes, no. Tim Love, the owner of the Lonesome Dove and owner of the White Elephant. Celebrity chef in his own right, Tim Love.
Yes.
Somehow has enlisted the star power of one John Rich. You know him and love him, or love him and hate him, from Big and Rich. Some would argue maybe a country act that just took Nashville to an all new low several years ago.
The ass whip of country music.
That's somewhat conventional wisdom. They were the biggest thing there for a while that came out. It was one of those things where you just saw them playing. And you just when you thought you'd seen it all and just, it couldn't get any sillier, you're just like, look at this.
What is this? Everyone goes, man, it's Big and Rich, man. They've sold 5 million records. You just go, and just any songwriter who, you know, loves the old school stuff, just, it's just a punch in the gut, and you just walk away.
Kick in the nads.
It's a kick in the nads. A sock in the groin.
Mine are still swollen.
So Kurt South is on stage with his band the other night at the White Elephant. How were you alerted to the presence of Mr. Rich?
Well, we took a break, a real quick break, and a member of the White Elephant's management came up to me and said, hey, we got a call from John Rich's manager. He is in Fort Worth.
Just thought he'd call to alert us that his presence will be felt here at some point.
They're on their way to the White Elephant. They will be here in 20 minutes. He really wants to get up and play.
Oh, my gosh.
To which I just said, so are you asking me to delay our going back on in anticipation of his arrival?
Yeah, what do they want you to do?
Well, she told me, yeah. No, wait around until he gets here.
He wants to jam.
And I looked around at the audience and I thought, no, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
So Tim Love walks by just a couple minutes after that. And I went up to him and I said,
owner of the White Elephant.
You know, I don't think I'm going to wait on this guy. I don't. Hey, it's my show. I shouldn't have to.
Yeah,
how about I go to a Big and Rich show and tell him I want to play?
That's right.
And he goes, no, get up there, do your thing.
Yeah.
He walks in, whatever. You do it how you want to do it.
If he's here, whatever.
Play so later. I discussed it briefly with Will Hobbs, bass player.
Extraordinaire. The great Will Hobbs.
Not that great, but okay.
He's okay, the okay Will Hobbs.
And Hobbs,
bass player of the South.
Hobbs
band.
Just goes, man, let's just get him up on stage and do some country classics.
Yeah, something anybody would know.
Let's
right,
just jam
right.
with him. That'll be cool.
Okay.
But let's keep it on our terms, our turf.
Okay. He grabs a beer, he gets on a mic, he sings a verse or two.
So we get up on stage, and man, we're cooking that night. It's just one of those nights where we're having fun. It's a great crowd. And you know,
Saturday night?
Yeah.
Saturday night, the White Elephant, Kurt South.
Forget it. Yes.
And of course, John Rich comes in with his bodyguard and small entourage.
Oh, no. And just some huge roided up dude.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Some big dude with a mullet and...
And just blending right in.
They sit out there
Give me a sense of what Rich has got on. He's just got
right,
on.
He's got on
understated.
He's got on a black ball cap. Of course, his overly groomed mustache. His Fu Manchu.
Right.
Just looked like it was waxed to perfection.
Yeah.
He's about 5'2", 120 pounds.
5'2", 120.
After a meal.
Right.
But he has on like this white satin blazer with these pinstripes on it. It almost looked like a Hugh Hefner smoking jacket, but in pearl white.
Sort of shiny and white. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Just looked like Sammy Davis Jr.'s teeth. I mean, just shiny. And, you know.
Mr.
Just
show business.
Just
sweet.
Just some diesel jeans or something.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
But he sits out in the audience for about an hour.
Hanging out at the Elephant.
Smoking cigars.
Yeah.
Just, you know, taking pictures.
Court. So people were alert. People were going through and taking pictures.
There was a buzz. But it was funny. There was the camp that was like, screw that guy, man.
Yeah, yeah.
There was a couple drunk dudes who were just like, man,
offended by his presence.
I'm calling him outside right now.
Oh,
I want to fight him in the parking lot. Yeah, there was a little bit of that.
Just another night at a South show at the White
Elephant. Right. So finally, I look at Hobbs and I go, man, it's already after 1 o'clock at this point. I go, we're going to do one more song.
Uh-huh.
We're going to get him up here. So I just get, and Hobbs like, yeah, let's get him up. Let's do a Waylon Jennings song or something.
Yeah, sure.
John Rich is from Amarillo. Surely he wants to get up and do some Waylon Jennings. So I call him up there, and man, he was so excited.
Did you say, ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to invite this time John Rich?
Yeah, let's get Mr. John Rich up here. And he just is doing this,
just
devil horns.
Stands up, just wow, yeah, just.
And in the back of my mind, I'm sitting there going, you know what? If I go out somewhere and I'm not getting paid to play, I don't want to get up and play.
No, hell no.
Why does this multimillionaire megastar want to play?
Because that's how they got where they are, man, by just jumping on stage with people.
So
here he comes. Rich just comes bounding.
Oh, just.
Would you say he walked to the stage or did he bound onto the stage?
He was bounding.
Bounding onto the stage.
And greets us all with a hug, you know.
And
just
a warm embrace. A warm embrace.
Just so excited to be there.
Did he kind of kiss you on the cheek?
On the ear, on the neck. Later in his room, what? Sorry.
What?
Edit that out.
What'd you say?
Oh, gee. So I when he gets up there, Rich, we give
bounds
our
onto the stage,
and I just say, hey, man, let's do a Waylon Jennings song or something. Let's close the show out. Mm-hmm. And he goes, well, man, here's the deal. I've done 17 shows in 9 days or something, and I'm really worn out, and I'm really kind of afraid that if we played as a band, I would embarrass myself somehow.
Yeah.
And I wanted to go, come on, dude. Yeah. Really? I just did a 5-hour gig before this. I've been up all day playing, but I was like, okay, whatever. So what do you want to do? He goes, man, just let me borrow you a guitar. I'll play some by myself.
Can you get off the stage, you and the band, so that I can play? So that was basically the deal.
Well, the funny thing is, the greatness of Scott Jenkins, our pedal steel guitar player.
Right, the great Scott Jenkins.
Scott hasn't moved from his post over by his guitar.
No warm embrace for John Rich.
He's just
from the pedal steel guy.
He's just sitting there and wondering who this guy is. He has no clue who he is. And Jenkins just goes, I ain't moving for anybody. If he's going to play, I'm playing with him.
Yeah.
So we walk off and we're just laughing. We're like, Jenkins is just going to just sit there, get up here and do his deal.
Yeah.
Oh. Well,
so there you go.
There you go.
Yeah.
But so dude, he winds up playing. He plays a couple, you know, old country standards. Will Hobbs gets up and crashes the stage for a George Strait song, and they do a loving duet. And then,
what a moment!
Then comes "Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy." Solo acoustic.
Yeah, a rendering of that song. Acoustic, stripped down to its bare essentials.
Which, if you think it sucks on the album,
yeah,
wait till you hear it played drunkenly on an acoustic guitar.
Oh, wow.
But, he plays for like 35, 40 minutes.
Oh, wow.
I mean, just, and man.
I mean, he had to be wearing out his welcome a little bit.
Oh, dude. And look,
he did a couple songs, cool.
But then I'll give him this. Yeah. He was very nice. He was as cool as he could be.
I heard he was a good guy.
Super nice guy.
Yeah.
But, dude, how do I say this? Can't play guitar, can't sing, worth a high-flying damn.
Yeah.
Not even close. Now, maybe he's having an off night. Yeah. I don't know. But he wore it out with the audience.
He's written,
co-written
some songs.
Oh, bunch.
He's written a bunch, yeah.
Yeah. But, man, as far as just getting up there and being good, people were not that impressed after a while. They were like, wow,
I went to – I ran into Zoo Music over here where I pick up the occasional rental PA system from your man, Jeff.
Lead guitar player for the
Bishop
band.
Jeffrey West.
Bishop Jeffrey West,
Jeffrey West, yeah. And he goes, hey, he said, Sal, I'll tell you, man, John Rich was at our show, man. I go, yeah, you know, you talked to me for just a minute. I said, yeah, man, I heard he was there. And he rolls his eyes and kind of goes, yeah, it's pretty underwhelming, man. Like he was expecting to be blown away by the musical prowess.
But the funniest part was our pedal steel player, Mr. Scotty F. Jenkins.
Yeah.
F being for fantastic. Mm. Even after John Rich played these songs and got off the stage, he came up to us and goes, who was that guy that hijacked our show, man? He was pissed about it.
Yeah.
And Will's like, you know, John Rich from that band Big and Rich? And he goes, really? I mean, I heard about him, I guess, but I was wondering why he was playing some of those songs. I mean, talk about poor choices, you know?
Yeah. Oh, man.
But Scotty had no clue that he was up there playing with him.
Yeah. And nor did he play really a little bit? Did he play with him?
The whole time.
I mean, he was playing licks and stuff back there behind him?
The whole time. Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's funny, dude.
Nick Verzosa, our friend Nick Verzosa was in the audience.
The P2 Podcast's own Nick Verzosa, formerly of John's Guns.
Yeah.
He was playing outside, right?
He played outside, and at this point, his show had been over for a while, so he was inside hanging out, and he got to witness the carnage.
I'd love to hear Nick's account of that night.
Oh, he has a good one.
John Rich on stage in his satin jacket playing Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy. South just red-faced and angry back by the bathroom holding a beer. Just, this is crap, man. We're going to get back up there. How long is he going to play? Good grief. Oh, man. I'd have loved to have seen that scene.
It was great. That's really how the scene was.
Yeah,
was
just, you stewing back there.
And finally, we just decided that we're going to walk back up there and play one more song.
Right.
So we just all kind of...
So was this late? Was this after one?
Oh, I mean, dude. Late. We started our last song at 5 till 2.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, it was late.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
I got home at like 4 o'clock that morning. It threw us off a full hour.
Yeah,
it was. But finally, we all just lined up on the stage, and he just, oh, looks like the band's back, and just handed the guitar over and was whisked away into a waiting limousine or something.
Yeah, yeah. But just was he just gingerly carried out by his bodyguard guy?
Just gently carried out. One of the funnier moments was when he was walking on stage.
Greatness.
Once again, he's 5'2", 5'3". I mean, he's a little dude. And Hobbs goes, hey, South, you're going to have to lower that mic stand about a foot for old boy to reach you.
Oh, God.
Just right to
him. Good grief, man. That's funny. I didn't know he's from Amarillo.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. You know, Amarillo is where we had the great Ryan Leaf come to a Phil Pritchard show. See, at least you had John Rich, who's like a performer. See, we were playing the Golden Line in Amarillo, and there's Ryan Leaf out there, the biggest bust in the history of the NFL draft. This was before he was coaching at West Texas A&M in
Canyon.
Yeah. And God, he had like a bottle with him, and he was by himself, and he knew all my stuff. I mean, he was over there just yelling requests, play BB in Las Vegas. I didn't know who he was. Like, who is this guy over here? And at the break, he starts just chatting me up, you know, just, you want to call Mark Cuban? You want to call Jerry Jones? I got his number. I'm just kind of like, who is this guy? And he shows me his phone. It says something about Ryan Leaf on there. I'm like, oh, my God, that's Leaf. And I remember seeing the ESPN show where he was coaching now. And it had that just kind of that zoom, that whoosh, just zoom in moment on my face. Just like, what?
That's awesome.
It's freaking Leaf. And, well, dude, it was a similar deal. Just, he just was the last dog to die, dude. We were trying to load out. And he was just, man, come up to Montana. We're at some songs together. And I'm just like, oh. Gosh, you know, just any coolness had worn off by this point. This was late, you know.
I have a headache just thinking.
I know, it's funny though, man.
Well, it's been a big summer for famous people with me. We've had
Billy Gibbons,
the
of course.
Jonas Brothers, and John Rich in the span of about 2 months.
Jonas Brothers, when was that? Now I'm impressed. Now my interest is peaked.
Oh, Hobbs and I performed, just it was like almost like a private performance for the Jonas Brothers.
Where was that?
Once again, Tim Love orchestrated this.
A man who knows all the Tim Love. People know celebrity chef Tim Love. He's been on the Food Network. He owns the Great Lonesome Dove restaurant. Owns the White Elephant.
Owns the Love.
A man
Chef.
About town. Like when the Cowboys have Thanksgiving.
He caters.
He comes. He comes out on the field with the turkey, and
he's actually
a celebrity chef in every sense of the word.
You know, the Super Bowl is going to be in DFW 2011. Yeah. Tim's doing.
You think Love's going to get on TV somewhere for that?
Oh, ESPN's broadcasting from Sundance Square. Tim Love's doing that whole deal. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Jonas Brothers just sat 2 feet away from.
Where was this?
The Love Shack on 7th
Street. Oh yeah.
They were filming some sort of TV show and.
Right.
The main thing that they asked us not to do is please don't make fun of them, because we know that you and Will like to do things to people in the audience like that. So please be nice to them.
Right.
And we were pretty nice, I think.
Yeah.
We only snickered a couple of times. And Hobbs did pull his pants down twice, but time was
Stop.
Necessary. That
Stop. Oh, man. Jonas Brothers. Music luminaries. Well, that is Kurt South's John Rich story. Oh, man. Classic stuff. Classic stuff. There's a lot of great stories about, a while back we had the great Alan Huff, keyboard player for Roger Kreger, was on the podcast and told some Doug Supernaw stories. The beloved Doug Supernaw. But in recent years, or at least the last 4 or 5 years, there's been a couple of run-ins with the great Doug Supernaw. Like that. Some guy playing a tip jar gig in College Station. And,
oh, I had one with him a couple of
years
ago.
Yeah, people just going, hey, Doug Supernaw wants to play some songs. You know, and you're like, okay. And you don't want to be mean, so you hand your guitar to him, and you never get it back. He's just up there, you know, 2 hours later. Just, this is a hit in 1993. Just, you know, and the crowd starts to Yeah. Lee, there's an incident, and it's just like, oh, man.
I just read basically, the other day, man, that he's living in a dumpster or something.
Oh,
now.
Come on.
No, see, no, he got, you know, he went to a mental
he's
institution.
He's bipolar. And he's had a lot of hard times.
He was seen, like, actually, I mean, living in some kind of homeless encampment now.
That's terrible.
Yeah, bad stuff.
He's had a hard deal, but, you know, as a general rule on stage, man, yeah, if you want to have someone come up and sing, that's okay. One song.
If you hand the guitar
man,
over,
man, you
that's
can't
the
hand
of the
over.
End.
You can't hand it over because you'll never get it back. You'll never get it back from anybody. So that's it, man. The John Rich story. Well, thanks for sharing that, South.
Hey,
now I get to carry. Carry this image of him just embracing you and kissing you on the cheek as he runs up, bounds up onto the stage.
Slip me a key to his hotel room.
No, he did not. Maybe is the John Rich story coming up, man. We're going to have something in the vault for you. I don't think it's Big and Rich's last record, but it'll be something to enlighten your musical life. This is Phil Pritchett on the P2 Podcast. The Vault is next.
Well, I'm running down the road trying to loosen my load. I got seven wheels. And she's a friend of mine. Take it easy, take it easy. Don't let the sound of your own wheels drive you crazy. Lighten up while you still can. Don't even try to understand. Just find a place to make your stand. Take it easy. Standing on the corner in Winslow, Arizona, was such a fine sight to see. It's a girl, my lord, in a flatbed port, slowing down to have a look at me. Come on, baby, don't say maybe. I gotta know.
Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast. Bless you all for joining us here on this glorious day as we come to you from Trinidad World Recording Studios, my studio here in Fort Worth, Texas, broadcasting about our life and music, what we see, what we struggle with, what we triumph over, hopefully sometimes. Thank you so much for joining us. How about that Kurt South, man? Just rubbing elbows with the luminaries of Nashville. Guys like John Rich just showing up at his show, wanting to jam with him. Man, I'd love to have been there. That's the first thing. Kurt called me after that night. Just goes, man, where were you when I needed you? John Rich was at our show last night. Very, very funny. Great stuff. Thank you, Mr. South, for coming in here. The didactic Dark Lord himself rises again, this time with some even greater stories and tales from the front. We appreciate it all very much. Oh, man. Take it easy. Do you know Jackson Browne wrote that song? Your beloved Eagles have been singing it forever and raking in money on it. But so is our man Jackson Browne. Oh, man. Oh, it took me forever to get into Jackson Browne. He was just a softy from where I stood, man, in high school listening to badass classic rock. It's Jackson Browne. He listens to this stuff, man. Yeah, not too into it, man. Famously, Bruce Springsteen inducted Jackson Browne into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame a few years ago. And Springsteen made a point of pointing out that the first time Bruce went and saw some Jackson shows, he goes, man, Jackson was just standing there. He doesn't move around. He just sings his songs, and there's just all these girls out there watching him. And Springsteen goes, man, we had no experience with that. He goes, me and the E Street Band were playing our gigs. You know, we had like, all we drew were men. You know, we're up there sweating and jumping around. It was like watching a football game or something. He said, our crowd dynamic was completely different. You know, we drew nothing but rooms full of men. Jackson drew all women, and he didn't have much of a show. He just kind of sat there and played. And, I don't know, man, I just wasn't into songs. I wasn't that into songs like, you know, Running on Empty and stuff. I was like, the stuff that was just overplayed on classic rock radio. But, man, Mike Astley. Thank you, Mike. Oh, Bacon Fat up there in the Midwest. He's just a fountain of musical knowledge. Man, he was always talking about For Every Man. record by Jackson Browne, one of his early albums. I think it's his second album, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe his third, but Jackson Browne for Everyman. So, man, I found it on vinyl, you know, one day at the Half Price Books and started listening to it. Man, really blown away by it, especially by this second song here. Check the title there. Our Lady of the Well. Take It Easy ends. It just goes right into Our Lady of the Well. But just a cool, cool tune, man. Check it out. Jackson Browne from the album For Everyman, Our Lady of the Well.
It is a dance we do in silence, far below this morning sun. You in your life, me in mine, we have begun. Here we stand and without speaking, draw the water from the well and stare beyond the plains to where the mountains lie so still. But it's a long way that I have come across the sand to find this peace among your people in the sun, where the families work the land as they have always done. So far the other way, my country's gone. Across my home has grown the shadow of a cruel and senseless hand. Though in some strong hearts the love and truth remain, and it has taken me this distance and a woman's smile to my heart remains among them, and to them I must return. But it's a long way that I have come across the sand to find you here among these people in the sun, where your children will be born. You'll watch them as they run. Oh, it's so far the other way, my life has gone. If you look for me, Maria, you will find me in the shade, wide awake or in a dream, it's hard to tell. If you come to me, Maria, I will show you what I've made. It's a picture for Our Lady of the Well.
Our Lady of the Well, Jackson Browne, Phil Pritchard here on the P2 Podcast, talking to you about the album For Every Man, Jackson Browne. It took me forever to come around on this guy. Of course, he's always been around, a perennial classic rock Southern California songster. Blah, blah, blah. Guy had all that misfortunate stuff with Daryl Hannah. Was he married to Daryl Hannah? I'm pretty sure he was. I don't have my Wikipedia in front of me. Forgive me. Oh, man, some... always a lot of weird stuff surrounding the guy. I think he was kind of a crazy, loony kind of guy. Jackson, real artist, real tormented kind of guy. He produced some Warren Zevon albums, produced Excitable Boy, which we've done here on the podcast in the vault. Great record, played on that. So he was very active in the 70s Southern California scene. All the partying and co-writing and hanging out with the Eagles, etc. And... Man, but wrote just some great songs on some of these early albums. My old road manager, Jordan Powell, used to always cry listening to his song, you know, The Loadout. So it was called, you know, Let the Roadies Take the Stage, Pack 'em Up and Tear It Down, talking about, you know, leaving the gig and all that. Powell would just put that thing on, tears in his eyes, just singing every word. You know, won't you stay just a little bit longer? It goes into that. I'd always kind of roll my eyes and go, oh, gosh, you know. But, man, great stuff. This is a rocker off that record, something we can all relate to. Please let me introduce you to my redneck friends, Jackson Browne, For Every Man. Redneck friend, Jackson Browne, For Every Man. How you doing, everybody? Philip Pritchard here on the P2 Podcast. We have had a great time with you today. Oh, man, talking about issues in modern concert tickets, promotion, what is wrong with the touring business. Kurt South has talked about John Rich. Wasn't that fantastic? His run-in with a Nashville celebrity there at the White Elephant. You never know when it's going to show up. We're talking about Jackson Browne here in the vault. Thanks for joining us here on the P2 Podcast. Oh, man, this next one caught me off guard. Listening to For Every Man, Jackson Browne, the first time through, kind of getting deep into those cuts, man. You know, there's always one or two songs like, oh, I've heard this one. Well, man, you get into these deep cuts, man. You're like, whoa, check it out. This one hit me like that, man. Any guy can relate to this song. Talking about that girl's having a hard time fitting into her jeans. Oh, man, uh-oh. Ready or not, Jackson Browne.
Someone's gonna have to explain it to me. I'm not sure what it means. My baby's feeling funny in the morning. She's having trouble getting into her jeans. Her waistline seems to be expanding, although she never feels like eating a thing. I guess we'll reach some understanding when we see what the future will bring. I met her in a crowded bar, one of those typical Hollywood scenes. I was doing my very best Bogart, but I was having trouble getting into her jeans. I punched an unemployed actor, defending her dignity. Well, he stood up and knocked me through that barroom door, and that girl came home with me. Now baby's feeling funny in the morning. She says she's got a lot on her mind. Nature didn't give her any warning. Now she's gonna have to leave her wild ways behind. She says she doesn't never spend another night running loose on the town. She's gonna be a mother. Take a look in my eyes and tell me, brother, if I look like I'm ready. I had always lived alone, and I probably always would. All I wanted was my freedom, and she told me that she understood. But I let her do some of my laundry, and she slipped a few meals in between. And the next thing I remember, she was all moved in, and I was buying her a washing. Now baby's feeling funny in the morning. She says she's got a lot on her mind. Nature didn't give her any warning, but she's feeling better about it all the time. She says she's ready for some meaning after all of her running around.
Ready or not, Jackson Browne. Oh man, that one just, that always gives you a chill a little bit. Hey fellas. Oh man, good stuff though, man. Really good. Well said, Jackson Browne. Well said. Well folks, that is our show for this week. The P2 Podcast. We love you all. Thanks for listening out there. Call me. Book the band. I'll come play in your house. 817-733-5256. I'll come alone. I'll bring the band. I'll bring an orchestra. Whatever. We'll work it out. Or also, please, all you musicians out there, or even if you're someone who's just written a few songs you maybe want to record, we do it all the time. Trinidad World Recording. Email me, phil@philpritchard.com. You know, shoot me an MP3 if you've got it. If you don't, that's fine. But hey, man, here's what I sound like. I'm trying to do this sort of deal. I'm recording one song, or I'm recording a double album. It doesn't matter, man. We do it all. All fun. No hurry, no worries, folks. Well, that is our show this week for the P2 Podcast. We're going to leave you with one of my favorite ones off of Jackson Browne, For Every Man. This is These Days. Enjoy Jackson on the way out. This is Phil Pritchard for the P2 Podcast. Thanking you again for joining us. We'll be back next week. Take care.
Well, I've been out walking. I don't do that much talking these days. These days. These days I seem to think a lot about the things that I forgot to do for you. had the chance to. The life that I have made in song. Well, it's just that I've been losing for so long. Time in quarter tones to ten, my friend. Don't confront me with my failure. I had not forgotten them.